welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. I'm here with Brian Sant, the NJGHS tech guru and producer of The Deadline. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Another week,
another work.
Another work. I know there was really no way to say that. I don't know. I'm still coming off a food coma, but that was really good food. So.
I know.
Brian took me for my birthday lunch, which was very nice. Thank you very much. To this place called Quaker Steak and Lube.
Yep.
Very adorable.
Steak, not state.
Yeah, Quaker Steak and Lube. Really cute. I mean, it had all neat car memorabilia, racing things, and motorcycles.
And good food.
And very good food. So, and it was so good he was going to leave it behind. I'm like, no. So I took it. So I have dinner.
Shocker there.
So did you hear on February 4th? I thought this was hysterical. There was a thief who used a frozen chicken as a tool to break into a cafe. He was caught when he cut his wrist and was forced to phone an ambulance. This was in Australia, okay? The man stole the chicken during an earlier break-in at a butcher shop at Maxville, north of Sydney, but came off second best when he tried to use the frozen bird and some rocks to break into a cafe, slashing open his wrist. He thought he was dying, a police spokesman, who would not be named, told Reuters from Maxville Police Headquarters. The 20-year-old man dialed emergency 000 number to call an ambulance and was arrested shortly after being treated by paramedics, he said. The man was charged with breaking and entering and was due to face a local court in nearby Kempsey later that week or whatever. Interesting.
Now, the only one part in that story is just like, they say he's arrested shortly after?
Mm-hmm.
What, like 2 seconds? It's like, what do they need shortly? He's arrested.
Shortly after the paramedics
right.
took care of him.
I know, but I'm just saying, why do they need the word shortly in there for? He was arrested after.
Well, I guess they just want to be very precise.
Shortly.
They bandaged him and arrest him. They had to bandage him up so they could put the cuffs on. I don't know.
It's like shortly, that means that there's some span of time between when
he
was treated.
Yeah, very little span of time. I don't know. I don't write this crap. I just pull it off the internet.
She just reads it.
Yeah. Also on February 4th in Colorado Springs, Colorado, the police say a man with too much Star Trek on his mind used a sword modeled after the weapon carried by Klingon warriors to demand money from two convenience stores. Investigators say the man took an unknown amount of cash from a 7-Eleven Wednesday, but left empty-handed when he tried to rob another store about 25 minutes later. Police Lieutenant David Whitlock says, "Wow, David Whitlock. It's even spelled the same way as wit." When we were in high school, one of my, well, then boyfriend who went on to be husband, one of his, in fact, that was our best man, was Dave Whitlock, Wit. How wild. Okay, anyway, trip down amnesia lane. Sorry, I digress.
Wow.
All right, so Police Lieutenant David Whitlock says no one was injured. The StarTrek.com website says the double-pointed sword used by the Klingons on Star Trek is crescent-shaped and about a yard long. Police did not specify what material it was made of. No one has been charged in the incident. Well, goody. No Klingon interspatial warfares.
You sound more like a Martian.
I can't do your planet.
Wow.
I know. It's total
food
coma.
No more food for you, ever.
Oh, yeah, Klingons and Star Trek. But you know what? The Trouble with Tribbles. That's one of the cutest of Star Trek episodes.
I'm sure it was.
Now, who was... I think it was a commercial recently or a show. I don't know. I caught a piece of this on TV, and it really... I think it's a commercial. William Shatner, I think, is trying to coach this one guy. Like, the guy must have, like, an ear piece
in. Oh, that's Priceline.
Oh, okay. It was a Priceline commercial because even the girlfriend goes, "Why are you talking like that?" And he's doing, like, "Because we should go." He's doing all, and it's because Shatner is feeding him the lines, so he's saying it exactly. Oh, it was a scream. I was like, you know, and I think... Shatner's gotten more mileage out of it since Jim Carrey really pointed out, you know, like when he does his William Shatner. It's just, it's a screen. But, yeah, that was a good commercial. All right, so on February 5th. I know, we're still way back in the beginning of February, but, you know, bear with me. It's a whole timing thing. This is good because it's about a ghost train, and here's why. Beijing, China. Now, don't ever go by our Chinese food. In China, it's still like moving, talking, squawking, walking, you name it. It's gross. But anyway, you can't beat a shrimp fried lice here in the United States.
My God. I'm never feeding you ever again.
What the hell did they put in those? I didn't do it. You know what it was? It was that friggin' fried pickle. That's what did it.
Oh, yeah.
See? Because pickles and ice cream is a traditionally Prager's meal.
Yeah.
And by frying the pickle, it's probably giving me like some kind of hormonal flashbacks and I'm wigging out. Oh, yeah.
Oh, acid flashback.
Whoa. Do you have that soundtrack?
Yeah, somewhere.
Somewhere. I ain't helping us now.
Well, oh, you keep reading
okay,
and I'll see okay. if I can find it.
All right, go find Ballsy. So in Beijing, millions of Chinese cram trains to get to their home provinces for the Lunar New Year break, with tickets selling out fast. So it came as a surprise to two holiday makers who found they were the only passengers. The Chinese New Year break. I'm having a fried pickle flashback. Do that again. You scared the hell out of me.
Too late. Oh, I just got a little bit.
All right. Well, in any event, the Chinese New Year break or Spring Festival is the biggest of two Golden Week holidays, which give migrant workers their only chance of the year to return home with gifts for their families. Standing room, if you are lucky, only is the norm for many on journeys that can last days across the huge country. But these two had the whole train to themselves. There was no one on the train. I can't. What's a Chinese accent? See, I don't know that.
Well, just read it normally.
It takes away from quoting the guy. My name is Hook Me, Hook You. Me love you long time. I only know those catchphrases. I can't remember. Oh, wait. Oh, I know what it is. We used to get the one girl at work when we were picking up the lunch orders. We'd always want her to order a BLT. Oh, get me a BLT. Anyway. All right. So I don't have a good Mandarin or Chinese accent for you. So bear in mind, this is a Chinese person saying this. There was no... You're going to make me lose it. Stop.
I'm not even looking at you.
I know. Don't look at me, man.
I'm not.
There was no one, and there was not enough heating or light. The Beijing Youth Daily quoted a passenger surnamed Zong as saying, "When the train went through a tunnel, it was pitch black. It was like a ghost train." Man, you're slow on that draw.
No, something's
wrong.
It
says right there, play the track.
I know that, but for some reason... It didn't play. It's...
See? It really is ghostly.
See?
There it is. That's from our website, too. That is the Ghost Train sound, right?
No.
No? Because we do have a Ghost Train sound from Dave Roundtree on our site.
I know.
That's not it?
No.
No, you're no fun.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. No, that was great. It's great. That was great.
Yeah?
Don't scream ballsy in my ear again. That scared the crap out of me. I didn't see that one coming.
Better not be on my new carpeting.
Oh, God, no. 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 It turned out that train... These poor people are like, give me the story already. All right, so here we go. It turned out that train L342, bound for Beijing from freezing Shaanxi province last Wednesday, had been laid on what's known as a temporary train to ease the crush, with no standard tickets or departure time. Only the two men had climbed aboard, and the driver, for reasons known only to himself, had set off for Beijing. I could not get a standing room only ticket for the regular trains. How could there be no passengers on a temporary train? An incredulous Zong was quoted as saying. The paper quoted a staff member at the station as saying the most probable explanation was that their station had not been allocated tickets. China's Xinhua news agency said police had seized more than 6,600 train ticket scalpers during the train scramble over the holiday. Police retrieved more than 40,000 scalp tickets with a total face value of about $730,000 or £504,200. Pretty cool.
Those are some heavy tickets.
Yeah. you know, so I thought that was interesting that it had Ghost Train in it, but yeah, I guess it's a little less timely and fascinating almost a month later, but...
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to have to practice. Usually I do pretty well imitating various accents and people, and I don't have one for Chinese. And yet
I can say,
I still remember how to say, how's the weather? In that Chi taught me when I was an executive secretary back in American Re days. And I know, ni hao, ni bu hao, tian 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 ji, zhen me yang. So I can do that, but I can't remember. I'd be able to do it. I guess I'd have to practice, like, more words and stuff. You know?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he told me that that means, how's the weather? I bet you it means, like, do you want to have sex with me or something? He's thinking, this will be funny to have the stupid American girl saying this, but... Anyway. It's not like there's that many people you can walk up to and test out your Chinese on. Well, not where I live. Yeah. I know there are concentrated forces and, like, you know.
Wow.
What's wrong?
Wow.
I'm telling you, man, it's a fried pickle. It's got me freaked. Want to do meeting announcements for the hell of it?
If it'll play.
Okay. Very good. Meeting announcements, Central Jersey Division. Your next meeting is on March 4th, 2009 in the Hazlitt Library from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The Hazlitt Library is located at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt. Team leaders Gregory and Sherry Irish will be on hand to lead the meeting. Of course. North Jersey Division. Your next meeting is on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, which for this girl with some Irish in her is like a high holy day, so don't expect to see me there. That meeting, March 17th, for the North Jersey Division runs from 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the Blue Room of the Community Center located at 293 Main Street in Hackettstown. This month's meeting topic for March, life after death and reincarnation. So bring you and all your past lives with you, and we'll really have a full room. Team leader Dina Tirico will be leading this wonderful discussion and taking all your questions and answering them as best she can. There is always a Share and Scare segment at each of our meetings, so if you have any questionable photographs or recordings, bring them with you for Share and Scare to be analyzed. All meetings are free and open to the public to attend, so you do not have to be a member, but you can become a member while there at the meeting for $20 lifetime, or you can PayPal it online through our website, njghs.net, or, better still, you can send in a PowerShare, and we read it on the show. You get your membership for free, right, Brian?
That's correct.
All righty. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to decompress.
I say, Sean B., I've been thinking about all the things necessary to produce a proper paranormal broadcast.
Do tell, Nathan S., what are these vital qualities?
Empathy, commitment, quiet dignity, and self-respect.
Indeed. What a shame we don't have any of those traits. Oh yeah, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's drive time paranormal broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostandhuman.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week we'll be bringing you the best and the worst kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter, Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
www.ghostandhuman.com. The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast.
Now's your chance to take what should be your last ride and get out alive. Morbid Mobile Tours lets you climb in through the suicide door or end loader and head out to the infamous Shades of Death Road in Warren County. While you're seated in the very space where dead bodies took the ride to their final resting place, you'll hear the grim tales of ghosts, murder, and disease. Jezebel is a beautiful 1983 Cadillac hearse
who served her time in funeral processions and now is dying to take you with her on this haunted trail. Tours are $25 per victim and depart from the Hackettstown train station. To book your tour, visit Morbid Mobile Tours page by clicking the license plate on the homepage of the NJGHS.net website. Morbid Mobile Tours, we're waiting to take you away.
I'm Jane Doherty, psychic medium and author of Awakening the Mystic Gift, and you're listening to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for Parashare. Do you have a paranormal experience or ghost encounter or something weird that happened to you once that you want to share with us? Then send it in an email to thedeadline@njghs.net. For each Parashare you submit and we read on the show, you'll receive one credit. You may use your credits to receive membership in the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. Only one credit necessary. It's only one Parashare. Or you may cash in 10 credits for a natal chart. That's a $75 value. We'll keep track of the Parashares and let you know when you hit 10, and then you can send me your birth date, time, and place, and I will send you a full-color natal chart with printout and my handwritten notes. Hang on to your hats, boys. We have a Parashare again this week. You ready?
Why not?
Okay. In 1991, I transferred to a four-year university in southern Georgia. Being classified as a non-traditional student, I was able to get an on-campus apartment. The center of the apartment consisted of a large kitchen, living room. To either side was a doorway. Excuse me. Through the doorway was a short hallway with bathroom, study area at one end, and a door on the other end leading to the bedroom. The apartment was designed for four students. My roommate for the fall quarter was John, a guy from Miami on an athletic scholarship, which included on-campus housing. His older brother lived off-campus. He gave me his brother's phone number and had me redirect any of his calls. That was the last I saw of John, and by the end of the first day, the two guys on the other side of the apartment had moved in. There were four incidents that happened to me in this apartment. The first was when I was alone listening to the radio. A southern rock song was playing, and I could hear a female voice sing the chorus. At first, I thought it was the DJ, but realized it was all around the room. I thought I was tired, so I went to bed. The second time, I was sleeping in bed when I heard the knob to my bedroom door rattle. I opened my eyes, and I saw the door slowly open. Nobody was there. There were people in the living room area of the apartment, but for them to open the bedroom door, they would have to first open the hallway door off the main room. This door was closed, as I could see it from the open bedroom door. I shut the door and returned to bed. Excuse me. About a month later, I was dozing off to when somebody gave me a wet willy, usually performed on a sleeping or otherwise unsuspecting person. The perpetrator of a wet willy wets his or her finger with saliva and inserts it into the ear of the victim. Ew.
You didn't know what a wet willy was?
I never heard of that. Oh, that's disgusting. Okay. I hopped out of bed expecting to find a drunken roommate. They were both asleep in their room. The last incident happened the night before I was to drive back to New Jersey for winter recess. I had packed my car and was trying to get some sleep for the long ride home. As I closed my eyes, I suddenly felt a female body pressed against me. The body was half on my right side and half on the mattress to the right of me. I felt the head rest under my chin before I jumped out of bed. I turned on all the lights and searched the entire apartment looking for somebody, anybody. The other guys in the apartment had already left for home. Luckily, I was able to get back to sleep. When I returned in the spring, I was assigned a new roommate and nothing notable occurred. I later learned that many students on the third floor of the apartment had similar encounters. I was on the second floor. A friend of mine, whose bedroom was next to mine in an adjacent apartment, said she used to get tucked in at night. We never found any information on the identity of this spirit except for the usual rumors of a student who died 100 years ago. This comes to us from Andrew. Wow. So if he was able to discern it was a female body that kind of curled up next to him in bed.
Right.
Then what's to say it wasn't the female sticking her tongue in his ear and not just a finger?
Don't know.
Ew. Creepy. That's good. Very good power share.
Very nice.
Very nice. Thank you very much, Andrew, and we will be right back.
The vault is open. You're listening to the Haunted Headlines, your source for the stories making waves in the paranormal news. Sponsored by GhostVillage.com at www.ghostvillage.com/news.
Good evening, I'm Christopher Balzano, and after a short time off, we are back with the Haunted Headlines, Ghost Village's weekly trip around the paranormal news wires to bring you the biggest stories affecting the ghostly community. Haunted houses on the market are nothing new, and real estate with ghosts involved is now big business, as some even choose to promote themselves as being haunted, knowing some people will come in just to see the ghost. A house in Minnesota is offering something more. The Winona Evening News is reporting the historic Anderson House Bed and Breakfast in Washoba, Minnesota is now up for sale to anyone who can afford the price tag. The house has been in existence for more than 150 years and is the longest continually operated hotel west of the Mississippi. It has a reputation for being haunted, which draws to the people of the house and to the town's business district every year. But ghosts may only be the second draw of the house. The Anderson House Bed and Breakfast is also known for its cats, which can be ordered as foot warmers or to keep you company through the night. It's reported that cats must stay in the house when the move is completed, but no word on the ghosts. It has long been said kids are more likely to see ghosts, but a story from the News Post Online and other sources throughout the net have claimed a kid's cell phone has evidence of the afterlife. Reese Pittman, 12, of Birmingham, England, both heard and saw two shadowy figures and recorded them with the device just days after his younger sister had complained a mysterious man had come into her room and finished her puzzle. The boy's mother believes the ghost to be some kind of guardian angel trying to help her after her divorce. In the report, Julian Banks of the British Paranormal Society says the film has potentially the best image of a ghost seen in years. This clip is now online, so check it out for yourself. In our weekly exorcism news, it seems, the High Court of Singapore has thrown out a case against members and clergy of the Novena Church. Amutha Valley Krishnan has claimed assault and battery, false imprisonment and negligence against the group for an incident in the August of 2004. Unlike the recent case in Texas, it was not a matter of civil versus criminal, but rather one side having a better case that got it thrown out, as Justice Lee Soo Kin had heard the case outlined in a 61-page document that doctors claimed the woman did not suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder and her testimony was inconsistent compared to the church's. The defendant is expected to have to pay legal costs for both sides, which is expected to be very substantial. When the end of the popularity of ghost programs on television comes, will we understand only upon looking back, or will we know it when we see it? If foresight can be 2020, we might look to E! Entertainment Television and mark the fall happened there. According to Reuters, the entertainment station has just finished production on a new paranormal television show called Hot Girls in Scary Places. On the show, starring three beautiful cheerleaders from USC, a cash prize of $10,000 is given to whoever can spend the night in an abandoned haunted house. The show will air on Friday, March 13th, which looks to be an unlucky date for everyone in the paranormal community. Thank you for listening to the Haunted Headlines. We'll be back next week with more stories impacting the paranormal community. Until then, you can check out these stories and others at Ghost Village's news section at www.ghostvillage.com/news. Until then, I'm Christopher Balzano, and that's what's haunting me.
If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society.
The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator. Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. Happy haunting.
Hi, I'm Mark Nesbitt, author of The Ghosts of Gettysburg and many other books on historical and paranormal accounts. You're listening to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for Haunted Trivia. This is where you get to test your paranormal know-how, baby. Last week's Haunted Trivia, you were asked, what famous building in New York City is said to have the ghost of a girl who jumped to her death from the top of the building? Oh, come on. You know this, Brian, right? Without even looking.
Duh. Yeah. All right, but I already looked.
All right, we'll say it anyway.
The Empire State Building?
Very good! The girl is said to have received news of the death of her fiancé in World War II, and she killed herself by leaping from the observation deck. Obviously, they have since installed some safety features on the observation deck.
Fences.
Yeah, you know, good fences prevent good suicides. Yeah.
Even bad ones.
Yeah, yeah. So, so that's the deal with that. People do spot this ghost up there every so often. You know what's so sad is I've never been to the observation deck of the Empire State Building. And I've never been to the Statue of Liberty. And it kills me that, I mean, I've been on a boat, like a dinner right. cruise, and I've gone by and waved hi to Little Miss Statue of Liberty. I want to go. I really want to go. I've seen the little miniature version one in the La Rue de Seine in Paris when I was on a bateau mouche when I was 17. Have not. I live 45 minutes from the real deal, and I've never. But you know what I did do years ago? I took the kids. Brian, he was little at the time, and I took his cousins, my nephews, into the Empire State Building when they had just opened up one of those theaters that you have to seatbelt yourself in because it's on like a shock absorber thing, and it moves with and you get the fan blowing on you. And they put one of those in the Empire State Building, and it was a cityscape of New York. So you're, like, flying between the tight crevices of various buildings,
right.
going up, you know, through Times Square and everything. It was like, all, it's synced up.
Yeah.
So the motion is synced up with what you're seeing, and they have the fans synced up. It was very, very cool, and the kids got a big kick out of it. It was very expensive to do that, you know, because it had just opened. The way I knew about it was because a couple years prior, my then husband and I, we were out with my family. We had a whole big family trip out to Las Vegas, and we stayed at the Luxor. Luxor had just opened. It was brand new. And they had that In Search of the Obelisk ride. And, I mean, Jeff and I would go on it. We'd get off. We'd run around and stand on line, get right back on. It was like we were so enthralled with this thing. So when I heard they had opened up something just like that in the Empire State Building, I'm like, oh, come on, kids. We got to go. Anyway, so... But that's as close as I've gotten in the Empire State Building is going to that theater. I never made it to the observation deck. Anyway, this week's Haunted Trivia has a skill level of requires some thought.
About time.
Okay.
working right. There we go.
There we go. Slick Willie Sutton, bank robber, who managed to escape from Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia, PA, did a commercial in the 70s for what product? Be the first person to email the correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net and you'll win an NJGHS t-shirt. Okay? So you have to really do your research on that one, but you can figure it out with some thought. Again, it's hauntedtrivia@njghs.net. Don't send it to Laura or to Brian or to the Morbid Mobile Tours address. Even if it's the right answer, it doesn't count. It has to go to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net.
Or else.
Or else, yeah. You lose. So, did I mention that you should sign up for the NJGHS Yahoo group, Brian?
Not this show.
Okay. Well, there you go. On the homepage of njghs.net is a little link. If you scroll down, it says our Yahoo group. Plug in your email address, and you're good to go. Then every time I send out Yahoo blasts of updating of the latest, greatest paranormal news, news for the organization, cemetery hunts, cancellations of cemetery hunts, a request for people to be part of a team for an investigation, you're in the know. You're part of the Yahoo group, so make sure you sign up for that. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You will not get bombarded with emails because I'm the only person who controls that account. I have control. Ha ha. No.
Spam.
And don't forget to be a friend on America's Haunted Road.